are you?
I'm great. How are you this afternoon?
Just fine.
I appreciate you taking the time to share with the audience a bit more about your background and your firm Message Broadcast. So let's get right to it. David, could you talk to our audience about your path to Message Broadcast?
About my path to Message Broadcast or what Message
yes,
Broadcast
sir.
Does as a proposition?
Your background that predates Message Broadcast?
Well, let's see. Many years ago, I started off as a young guy in the music business wanting to be a Beatle or a Rolling Stone, and that took me through a career that included some music production and the technology of music in general, and then the creative world later of television and film. Took that off actually to a couple satellite companies, Loral and Boeing specifically, and worked there really doing content delivery over digital satellite and other types of fiber and terrestrial services as well.
So it sounds like entertainment and technology kind of in your background, predating Message Broadcast?
Yeah, it really was a blend of the things I learned over the years, kind of both as a performer, a person in the creative field, and then, you know, learning how the world transitions from analog to digital and all the pieces and technologies and sensitivities necessary to really make that happen.
So let's fast forward or move into Message Broadcast, and David, maybe you can help to explain what it is that your firm does today.
Message Broadcast, probably as an elevator pitch, is we've created a network for the delivery of automated messaging and communications. It's a multi-channel network. This delivers messaging and notifications both out to the consumer as well as allowing the consumer to receive by coming inbound to our various systems, various information about a range of things, really. We have a number of very large enterprise clients in the healthcare industry, financial services, telecommunication, insurance, utilities, and we create custom platforms for them that house various communications, messages, account activity alerts, for example, service fulfillments, fraud alerts, order confirmation, anything that really communicates information relevant to the consumer over their life cycle. And we deliver that over voice, SMS, email, and a broadband channel direct to the consumer or respond to the consumer's inquiries. Do a range of things, including surveys and any number of proactive communications, again, relevant to enterprise to consumer communications. And we've also actually, over the past year, reached into the government services as well, where we do a lot of work with several back-end financial services companies servicing local, state, federal governments delivering entitlement services. So we deliver a range of messaging and notifications to those areas.
We're going to spend a little bit of time later in the interview talking about kind of the fast-paced change and everything, but as I'm listening to you talk, the holistic approach that you've developed inside of Message Broadcast to help clients reach out to their customer base. It's got to be a constant challenge for your business to continue to advance kind of along with the technology and probably, maybe even more importantly, continue to satisfy the escalating interest of your client base too, given the kind of technology that you have at your disposal. Is that a fair assessment on my part?
It's a fair assessment, and there's a number of bridges that we really try to build, both in terms of our technology offering, and really more importantly, I think, imparting the strategies and benefits about a multi-channel approach. The market really is changing so quickly, and technology offerings also are evolving so quickly that in many cases, your enterprise colleague is struggling to find all the points to satisfy the consumer. And we really find that providing preference channels, for example, the consumer's a mobile animal these days, really wants to have things delivered based on where they are, if they're in their car on the mobile, if they're at home to the email, and perhaps even delineating that over the course of the day. Being able to build an intelligent network that allows our clients with the ability to deliver preference-based, multi-channel-based, and do that with intelligence so that the consumer is being delivered relevant information. Those bridges we work to build every day. And of course, technology being what it is, has grown, but it's really the awareness of what technology can do that builds the strategic bridges and, again, the communication bridges that enhance the customer lifecycle and, of course, enhance the proposition of our enterprise clients.
We're going to spend a couple more minutes on that here, just in a couple minutes, but I wanted to ask you a question, David, regarding your experience and key lessons learned. Could you talk to our audience about maybe the guiding principle or principles that you use to lead your firm?
Well, you know, ours is to deliver the trust of the enterprise to the consumer. And I think if you're really in that business, you have to live that. And what we've tried to do internally is to build a very close-knit, well-trained, trusting group of people that really work to deliver the best we possibly can, both to each other in an internal sense, as well as to our various clientele. So there's a family environment here. There's a great deal of emphasis on quality, on the ability to be able to interoperate between our departments and between individuals, and really do this at the highest level of provision, again, in sort of a family way.
So it sounds like you're saying everyone's important inside of your firm, and I'm just wondering, any lessons learned relative to that as you built your corporate culture at Message Broadcast?
Well, I think the real lesson is everybody is critical in an organization. That, that you know, we sort of work without any kind of hierarchy here. I see everybody as a direct colleague able to provide me with good insight and intelligence for what I need to do and in support of what we do need to do as a team. So we've really learned that it's definitely a flat organization, and we trust each other to be able to come up with the best solutions together that can possibly be provided by this organization.
Great. I'd like to come back then to kind of a couple points that we talked about earlier in this interview. And you help clients, and I know some very large firms, you know, customize, as you said, their communications using multi-channel approach with their customers. You've used the concept that, as we prepared for this interview, of a content delivery network. Could you help our audience understand and maybe explain the concept, content delivery network, to our audience?
Sure. Content is a very large continuum. People think of a cable TV networks, and that's really content delivery in a very large way. In days gone by, content was delivered through big cans of celluloid, and that's content delivery. Today, of course, we have digital mechanisms, and we have networks that can deliver any kind of content bidirectionally from one person and back to another. And really, that's what we do here. We carry content. We have a very sophisticated multi-point network. We, in many cases, assist our enterprise clients to create the content, be it a message, be it a small training video, any type of relatively small types of messaging and content is carried by Message Broadcast based on very specific business rules. And those could be things that were, for example, triggered based on consumer activity. If the consumer has requested, for example, balance of their checking account on a weekly basis or every time it's over a threshold, we'll carry a prefabricated message about their balance with very specific custom or consumer-relevant information embedded in that. And that content is carried to them at the times that have been designated for the types of information relevant to the consumer. So that kind of content over the various channels or mechanisms that we have is, again, provided out to the consumer, or content carried to them. Or in some cases, the consumer can dial into a system or broadband into a particular system, and we can allow them to access content that's relevant to them based on the relationship between the enterprise and the consumer.
So it's really a bi-directional or two-way street between the consumer and the supplier or the service provider. Not it just pushing information, but allowing them to extract information as appropriate as well.
Yes. It's referred to in the business as inbound and outbound, so that if content is being delivered to the consumer, let's say, that would be an outbound delivery of content. If the consumer wants to reach in and query one of our systems for information that's relevant to an account or fulfillment, then that would be an inbound request for content. It could be done a number of different ways. And again, through the multiple channels, depending on how rich the channel is. You know, in a SMS encounter, for example, you have so many characters you can use to make the inquiry and so many characters you can use to deliver the content back. And that can go many different ways, of course. But you can build out a very robust communication and in some cases dialogue between the enterprise and the consumer that way.
Interesting. You know, we prefaced the show talking about how there have been advances in client requirements and technology. And so, let's spend a little bit of time, David, if you would, and maybe you can describe your evolving business model and how you've had to do that to meet the changing client requirements, the advancement of technology. So maybe you can help our audience understand how your firm has had to change to respond to these marketplace realities.
Yeah, we've changed a lot, really. The company started about 12 years ago in an area called voice marketing, which is really the delivery of solicitational messaging over the telephone. And that has all kinds of compliance restrictions and, in some cases, a dubious taste in the mouth of both consumers as well as the enterprise. So we moved in strictly the area of information access and communication. And there we have competition in that area, of course, and we wanted to be able to incentivize both the use of our services and, of course, the penetration of our services into the marketplace. So we took on a couple business models that really changed things around from the way a lot of our competition does work, and it came from my background in the satellite services world where many years ago the satellite business was competing with terrestrial and cable business, and they had a lot of equipment that you had to buy to allow you to get satellite content. A long time ago, when DirecTV first started, you had to pay for your receiver and your antenna. Eventually, all that went away. So the barrier of being able to get the content was the equipment, and they took the cost of the equipment away, and, of course, that helped them penetrate the market. Likewise, all of our services are free for development. Any of the programs we build for our enterprise clients, all that developed from the point of contract signature to the point of deployment, all that is free. It's our investment in the relationship. And so once that program is developed, and sometimes that program may take 3-6 months to fully build out, our upside is having that content store, that network presence for our clients baked in such a way that provides them with such upside that the relationship is maintained for a long period of time, and we profit from that. So really, our ability to build to suit and to allow this low no cost of entry and then the higher ROI that our systems can deliver in terms of proactive information and reducing costs that exist when, for example, our proactive information can actually offset or shed calls that would normally come into a live call center representative. That's really the upside, and that's the kind of relationship we try to grow and the service we try to deliver.
So if I understood what you were talking about there, you brought kind of a knowledge of from a different industry that you were in predating message broadcast into the business model as you were looking for ways to evolve your model. And so that's interesting, cross-industry learning. But it also, I wonder about the risk inherent with I think you used the term no upfront fees or no upfront charges for development. I mean, how did you factor in your decision-making process the fact that my assumption is message broadcast would be taking on somewhat more risk for changing the business in this way?
Well, you know, there was risk, and this was not done without a great deal of contemplation. I had seen the company struggle over a period of about a year trying to assess a large development fee up front. And these fees in some cases can be in the tens of thousands of dollars. because it's a fair amount of IT work and you're interacting with your enterprise colleagues to come up with business rules and giving them the best deliverable possible. In many cases, that large upfront fee would really provide a great deal of delay and sometimes even eliminate the opportunity for our enterprise clients to be able to engage in a service like this, because they really wanted to see what the benefits would be in many cases. And when this was new, you wanted to overcome that. So we started off in a small way doing those things, and we found over some hits and some misses that in most cases, when that fee was eliminated, the likelihood that the client would come on, engage, and stay over a long course, and also be incentivized to build, was substantial. I actually had one of our better and very, very large banking clients, probably one of the nation's largest, tell me last week that he wanted a change to their platform. It wasn't a very large change, a multilingual component. And they said, you know, Dave, if it wasn't for the business model that you have, where I can come to you, ask for a change, implement it, test it, and launch it, the likelihood of me being able to do this in weeks or months would be low, when in fact with you I can do it in days. And the barrier to them was the approval process of being able to put in another alert or add a multilingual component or maybe change the interactive values that the program had inherently. And the great part is the minute that they can actually engage and implement that, deploy those new changes, we start making money immediately. So whatever I would have charged him in this case to deploy this particular program, that barrier would have cost me money. So these engagements really come. It's a little like grease is to the skids. We get in there. We try to show that we're a quality organization delivering quality services and a quality network, and then that just opens the door, and it hasn't let us down yet.
That is a very powerful real-world example of the value of making a strategic change like that and implementing it. So I'm excited to hear that. I think that's thank you for sharing that with us, David. That was a powerful example, as I said. You know, I had to ask you about this, so I hope you're okay with it. I know that you had made a decision to offer, it's kind of on a tangent, but I guess I'd ask you to bear with me on this one. But you made a decision a while back to offer on-site child care to retain two of your key employees. And I was, both Doug and I, when we were there meeting with you and talking about the radio show, came away really impacted by that and affected by that. So I guess I'd like to ask you maybe to explain the consequences of that decision to our audience and help them understand a little bit better what Doug and I saw firsthand from visiting your business.
Well, it was an important decision. It was a little bit of a scary moment when I had two young ladies here who were essential to putting this organization together and keeping it together come to me at the same day and turn over two sonograms. Indicated they were both pregnant at the same time. And part of me went into a heart attack, and the other part of me went into what they call me now, which is faux pas mode, which, you know, is having two incredible little kids here every single day. You know, you're in a workplace 8-10 hours a day, and in many cases you know these folks better than you know the rest of your family. And I knew from having spent a couple years with these two young ladies that they were essential to this business and that they had to be back as soon as possible, assuming that was their desire, and it was. So we built childcare just behind my office where we have a nanny 8 hours a day, and the kids are literally raised. And they're not just raised by the nanny and the two wonderful mothers. They're really raised by the entire organization. I find myself, when I need a moment of health, mental health, I'll go in there and just look at these two beautiful little faces. And they know me now because I went to the hospital when they were born, and they smile when I walk in the door. And the day comes with lots of barriers and trials and tribulations. But when you see two little faces like that, and you know that what you're really working for is their college fund or maybe just their next cookie. And I'm not alone here. The entire staff will go in over the course of the day just to say hi to the kids. And it really changes from just another company to a place where we're all on the same ship, trying to row straight for the benefit of these kids and all the other kids that we support here with the team.
Well, thank you for being willing to share that personal side of kind of the of Message Broadcast, the business. And I think both in that discussion and in the previous discussion, the transferable learning event is sometimes the unintended consequences of a decision, whether it's enabling a client to be more flexible and more responsive to what their changes in working with you, or how a company can sort of redefine itself by the presence of these two children in your business. How powerful that can be for the benefit of your business. So I'm glad you gave us those two life lessons and examples. And if there are people out there, David, in our listening audience who are interested in learning more about Message Broadcast and would like to get in touch with you, how would you suggest they do that?
Well, we're on the web at www.messagebroadcast.com. Or our main number here is area code 949-428-3111, and they can route through one of our interactive systems to get to whomever here.
Well, today's each interview has gone by so quickly, David. I want to thank you for interesting and thoughtful answers to the questions and sharing with our listening audience not only your business decisions but your kind of other decisions that you made inside your firm. I do appreciate the time you've given our audience here today.
Thank you so much, Rick. I really appreciate the opportunity.
Okay, have a good day.
You too.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Well, that just about wraps up this installment of Critical Mass, the radio show. I hope you've enjoyed our show today as much as I have. Both guests were quite fascinating in their conversations, and I hope that there was learning events and opportunities for you to take transferable learning into your business. Hopefully it's provided you with new ideas or informations, and, Doug and I are all about helping you get access to information that will allow you to make better, more informed decisions. If you'd like to learn more about what we do at Critical Mass for Business, then I strongly encourage you to visit our website as well, which is critical mass for business.com is our website. Tomorrow, Doug is your host, and I would hope that you'll be able to listen in as Doug interviews Larry Peterson of Peterson, Oliver, and Pohl, and Tom Neumeier of Neumeier and Dillion LLP. And then this is the first week where we're doing three shows, which means listen on the 29th when Rick Franzi will be back with our guests Stacy Clifford Kitts and Kelly Adams. So until we talk again, I hope all your decisions move your business in a positive direction.